So we all talk a lot about getting more young women into STEM careers and what a struggle it can be. Well, I met a terrific young lady at the recent U.S. News and World Report STEM conference who is showing us a new way to reach young women and standing up for these women in a way that's just remarkable. Welcome to Green Connections Radio, where we help you live green, work green, and earn green. I'm Joan Michelson. We are talking innovation with leaders and thinkers in energy and sustainability, and those who are transforming our world. Well, the young people of tomorrow are definitely transforming our world. And I met this terrific young lady, as I mentioned, at the U.S. News STEM conference recently. And she struck me because she just stood up and said the truth that so many of us have to face and talked in a session and just took the mic and asked questions about the reality of being in the room dealing with some of these issues that women face in STEM. And I knew I just had to have her on Green Connections Radio. So without further ado, I'd like you to meet Hayden Araza. She is the Chief Science Officer at the Paradise Valley High School in Paradise Valley, Arizona, which is a suburb of Phoenix. And I didn't even know there was a Chief Science Officer program. It sounds very big and grand and fabulous. So welcome to Green Connections Radio, Hayden, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Joan.
Oh, you're welcome. So first of all, tell us about the Chief Science Officer program.
Well, the Chief Science Officer program really allows students to be leaders of STEM and education and innovation in our schools and the community. So my entire city of Phoenix, as well as the state of Arizona, and nationwide.
Oh, so it's nationwide. I saw a couple of the links that one of your supervisors sent me, but it looked like it was just in Arizona.
No, it is actually nationwide. I believe we have 8 states and counting joining on board. We actually also have it's actually outside of America as well. We are starting up the program in Kuwait, and we have quite a few chief science officers in Kuwait as it is right now.
Well, that's way cool. So are they, how does that work? I mean, are they all, so they're, what exactly do you do as chief science officer of Paradise Valley High School?
Well, as a chief science officer in Paradise Valley High School, one of my main jobs is to really encourage STEM education across the board. That means reaching out and talking to students, parents, teachers, administrators, and really encouraging different STEM opportunities. And each CSO in the program has to make an action plan or is required to make an action plan for the program. And basically what these action plans are plans that take STEM into the real world. It takes STEM into some place in your community where you can actualize it. So for my action plan, I created a Maker Faire / Paradise Valley STEAM event where it was just an entire day, it was a Saturday, dedicated to showing off the really awesome STEM and STEAM projects made by Paradise Valley High School, as well as schools throughout our entire Paradise Valley Unified School District. And this really just shows students how cool STEM education is, how many different inventions that there are in STEM, and just the amazing capabilities of all the students around the entire school district.
Oh, that's cool. So how did you decide what to include? I mean, I would imagine you had some students that do robotics and things like that, but STEAM includes, STEAM includes the arts. So how did you decide what to include? And tell us some of the things that were in the fair.
Well, one of my main passions as a chief science officer is makerspace and maker culture. I'm a huge maker. I love hands-on projects, and art really ties into STEM for me. It's more STEAM than STEM. And some of the projects that we had there were definitely what you're talking about with robotics. There's definitely robots moving all around. And we even had some fashion came in as well, because fashion does involve math, a lot of geometry, a lot of precise measurements, and as well as we had different science projects, not even just the volcanoes with the typical baking soda, but really interesting science projects that talked about radiation, microwave radiation, as well as how to save the earth, green initiatives, climate change projects, and projects that really focused on getting students excited about learning, excited about science, and showing off these cool new gadgets and gizmos that were made by students around from ages K through 12.
So tell us about some of the cool gizmos that were there and maybe what your project was.
Yeah, well, one of the projects that I worked on was the 3D printer. In my club, Makerspace, I'm actually one of the presidents of Makerspace Club, we brought a laser cutter as well as a 3D printer, and we 3D printed a mini Millennium Falcon for one of the people or one of the children at the event, and we laser cutted some stickers for people. We customized them using this brand new software, and we're able to give people stickers that said their name or said PV Steam, and we designed, we graphically designed these images that had our Trojan head, which is our mascot, as well as a gear in the same area, and said PV Makerspace. So we had these cool technology at our fingertips, and we really utilized them for our benefit to show off STEM and STEAM education.
Though this is so cool, and I love the fact that you mentioned that fashion is it requires the same kinds of skills because it involves precise measurement and machinery and, you know, and things like that. It's not just all fabric, right? What?
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it does. So what are some of the other projects that, I mean, you said it was K through 12. So tell us about a few more because I'm fascinated and how students came up with these ideas.
Yeah, of course. Well, we actually have this thing called a Summer Training Institute, a Summer and Fall Training Institute for Chief Science Officers. And there we bring STEMonstrations, we like to call them. Instead of demonstrations, we call them STEMonstrations. And there students can bring in different projects, science projects, art projects that they think really tie in to STEM learning and can benefit the community. Some of the projects like that have been how while using a certain type of flashlight, you can make a motor move and how a circuit works and how flashlights work. Using the different parabolas and hyperbolas and ellipses in a flashlight to really create the sense of light. So I thought that that was super cool. I learned about that at one of the demonstrations at the Chief Science Officer Summer Training Institute, where they taught us about all these different business connections and things that we could use to our advantage to make our projects cooler and make our projects more connected to real-life problems.
Well, that's cool. So how did they decide? I mean, there are lots of real-life problems that you could use any of these things for. How did this make? I mean, did you come up with the ideas on your own? Do you have like a sponsor that helps you? I mean, I was emailing a bit with Kelly Green, for example. I mean, did people like Kelly help you decide what your project is? Is it something you come up with on your own? Do you work with, say, your biology or physics teacher in school to come up with it? What's the origin of the ideas?
But one of the coolest parts about the Chief Science Officer program is that it really does originate from the student. It's very student-based. So if I wanted to create, my initiative was I wanted to have a maker fair where people could show off their projects, and I wanted to help other students show off what they were capable of. So we have Jedi mentors in the CSO program that allow us to make these real connections and make these business connections so that our projects have real data, real information. So, for example, we have Jedi mentors from Intel, Jedi mentors from Grand Canyon University, who are like STEM directors, and real business connections. So if we were to go out and reach out to any of these Jedi mentors that are all accessible on our CSO webpage, we can make whatever project that we want happen and make it real life and really correlated to what's going on in our community.
Tell me about what inspired you to become a chief science officer in the first place. I mean, why bother? It seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's something that I really am passionate about and that I'm very connected to personally. One of my personal goals as a CSO is to bring a creative education to students in my community and even around the world through passionate leadership and an adventurous spirit. I think that it's really important to be passionate about what you like to do. And something that really inspired me was being the only girl in my computer science class, or one of two girls in my AP computer science class, that actually took the challenge and took the AP exam. Again, only one of two girls to take the AP exam in the entire school district. And I ended up taking the class out of spite because a fellow girl told me that I wouldn't be able to do it. So when I got into that computer science class, I was really just shocked at how much there is in computer science that I didn't know or that I thought that I couldn't do because I didn't have access for it. So finding that love of computer science pushed me to explore more avenues and STEM careers and STEM opportunities, and I found a love and a passion for reaching out to other people and showing off how cool STEM and STEAM is, because I didn't know before I took that computer science class, I would never have known just how many awesome opportunities there are.
Well, you certainly made lemonade, didn't you?
I did, yes.
What does the girl think now who challenged you that way? I bet she's shocked, or have you had anything to do with her? What does she think?
Well, actually, I don't know. I don't know what she thinks. She was actually a random bystander. I was sitting in my counselor's office, and my counselor is a very strong woman in STEM, and she told me that I should take AP Computer Science, and when she told me that, I told her, no way. I told her, that's hard. I don't know what that is. And so she called over a random bystander, and it just happened to be this girl who had transferred from a different school, and my counselor asked her if she thought that I should take AP Computer Science, and this girl just looked me up and down and said, no, I don't think so. I don't think you could do it. So I don't really have any personal connection to her anymore, but I think it just goes to show how many people think that computer science and STEM careers are off the table or are too hard or aren't accessible to the common public. I think that that really showed how closed off people think STEM careers are and how wrong that is.
Why did you come to the U.S. News and World Report STEM conference? I mean, there are so many conferences around the country that you could have chosen to come from. Why did you guys choose that one?
Well, originally, I believe it's all part of the STEM Ecosystem Conference. And we went for the day before the STEM Ecosystem Conference. And then we found that this U.S. News conference was just something that would enhance our experience and be able to provide us with those business connections and those opportunities to really give an opinion as a student in STEM and provide the student voice for STEM education. So we took it upon ourselves to join and have a couple sessions as chief science officers, explaining what the program is, explaining why there are so many valuable business to student connections, and why students should get more of a voice in U.S. news today, because STEM education, we are the future.
How do you suggest that we reach young ladies like you more broadly? Are there words that we need to use? What do you think would encourage more young ladies to pursue what you're pursuing and find the passion that you have found?
Well, I personally think that mentors play a huge role in every aspect of life. My AP computer science teacher was actually a woman, a strong female leader, strong female teacher who did a great job of teaching us. Mrs. Kaiser was her name. And I just think that if girls can see that another girl is doing it and is being successful and finding a career in computer science that they love and enjoy, it would really motivate me. It certainly motivated me when I was in my computer science class and I was surrounded by lots of these guys. And I was like, oh, man, am I in over my head here? Am I not capable of doing this? But looking and seeing these strong women leaders and these strong mentors that really helped me through the process of accepting that I was a female in a STEM education and moving on from that, being more than just a female in education or female in STEM education, but being a passionate, I love STEM education now. So it really transitioned from that.
Mm-hmm. You're an advocate.
Yeah, I am an advocate. I definitely, it is just one of my biggest passions. And I think that mentors in any field, especially STEM, women leaders in STEM, it's vital for any little girl looking up to a TV or looking up to someone talking about being a computer scientist or being a scientist or being a microbiologist. I think it's inspirational.
Mm-hmm. What do you think you want to do when you, what year are you in school?
I'm currently a junior in high school.
Okay. So you're probably starting to think about college, right?
Yes, I am.
So what do you think you want to major in, and what do you, where are you thinking of going?
Well, I'm not totally sure where I'm going yet, but I know that I want to major in business, computer science, and marketing. I think that finding a niche is really important to any person's successful career. Being passionate about two things or more, if you can combine those, I think it's a powerhouse, a power triple. So I know that I want to do something where I can be my own boss, so it's probably some sort of business management, and probably education. I love education. I love being able to reach out and explain and touch other people's minds. And my mother was an educator for a very long time, so it's definitely in my blood. But I think I would want to do something more on the higher level of business and management through education with my computer science degree, and some part encourage students worldwide that they can do it, that they're not alone.
Oh, cool. Is there anything that you want our audience to know before I let you go about reaching young ladies like you, about how we can inspire more students to pursue STEM careers? What should we know that we're missing?
Well, from a student perspective, I think, again, I have to go back to mentors and support and inspiration. If you can make those personal connections with students, even if you happen to be parent, mentor, business leader, manager, any sort of higher up position, or even a friend, just a friend of someone who's interested in going into a STEM career, I think being a mentor and being an inspiration to these people who want to do this but are scared, I think it's important to look up and see these big inspirations and see these people who are doing it, and know that you can do it too. One of the best pieces of advice that I received at the conference in Washington, D.C., of the USAA, USA conference, was if I can do it, you can do it better. And that was from one of the strong women who was on a breakout session in diversity, closing the gap. And I really just think if more strong, independent leaders, women leaders of STEM, were to say things like that, if I can do it, you can do it better, I think it would just light a fire beneath any little girl's heart who wanted to go to the moon or visit Mars or be a chemist or be in computer science. I think that it would be inspirational.
Uh-huh. Cool. Well, thank you so much. I really, by the way, I was there when she said that, and I'm smiling. I think that was terrific. Thank you so much for joining us today on Green Connections Radio. Hayden Araza, who is Chief Science Officer of Paradise Valley High School. Fabulous.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, sweetie. So what did you hear Hayden say? What resonated with you? What do you want to say to young ladies through STEM careers? And what do you want them to know? Tweet it to us at Joan Michelson or post it on our Facebook page and like the page while you're there. And ask to join our new private Facebook group or email it to us at info@greenconnectionsradio.com. Find us online on greenconnectionsradio.com, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, and wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcast. I'm Joan Michelson. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
Hi, my name is David Goldberg, president of Edge Studio, a voiceover company. We oversee professional narrators and voice actors for sales videos, training videos, telephone pre-recorded systems, commercials, web videos, and all applications requiring voiceover. And in fact, for over 20 years and in over 100 languages, we have been considered the most trusted and the friendliest leader in the voiceover industry. We're a green company with efforts toward sustainability at all of our studio locations. EdgeStudio.com. Sound people who are happy to help.